Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok, this Tuesday, reading about Rick Gates. And this is the Paul Manafort trial, and his right-hand man, Rick Gates, says he committed crimes with Paul Manafort. The trial, of course, in its second week now, Alan.
Well, David, I'm fascinated by the way in which the prosecution has handled itself. They put Gates on the stand, all right, but they want all the dirt out so that the defense can't come and ask questions which will be embarrassing or more embarrassing. So, for example, David, they say, did you steal? Yes. Did you steal from Manafort himself? Yes, I did. How much? Well, $100,000, $200,000, something like that, compared to the millions that the two of them were carrying on with. Did you falsify bank accounts and other things for Manafort? Yes, I did. So they basically have put onto the table all the potentially embarrassing things, or most of them, that the defense are going to ask Gates, and the defense has made it quite clear that it is Gates who they are going to blame for the whole thing and say their client, Manafort, is basically innocent. So the way that it's going, you have this mound of written material that is signed by Manafort, and you have Gates substantiating that that's exactly what's happened. You have the accountants testifying that they were told to falsify material, and it does look like Manafort is in deep trouble here. But as I've often cautioned, it only takes one person on the jury. It only takes one person who may feel that this is part of an anti-Trump campaign, and who sits there and says no, and it only takes one.
An editorial in the New York Times today on the economy. Clouds darken Trump's sunny economic view. They say there are more signs of a slowdown as the tax cut stimulus proves weak, temporary, and maybe even counterproductive.
Well, David, right now the economy is booming, but we've seen that too. You don't have to go back all that far, although you could go back to 1929, couldn't you? And you can see the rosy euphoria that surrounded this country until it had its worst time ever. And it took Franklin Roosevelt and a lot of changes in order to support the economy and to bring things back again. You know, David, one of the advantages of being older is that you remember some of these things. I think a lot of the young people in this country, they don't remember that people were sleeping on relatives' couches, that there were long lines for food, people selling apples on the corner. I think as each generation gets further away from the Depression, it becomes easier to think that all is just well. And it isn't, because when we make mistakes, they can be compounded, and sooner or later it all catches up to you. Right now it looks good, but we don't know what will come.
Apple, YouTube, and other sites have removed a large portion of content posted by Alex Jones, the right-wing conspiracy theorist. This is the man who claimed that Sandy Hook, the shooting, was a hoax and has been subsequently sued by some of the parents of those children.
Well, the guy's disgusting, and it makes sense that they would do it. On the other hand, there's another way to look at it, David. A lot of people never had any idea who Alex Jones is, and it plays right into his hands that these companies are giving him an incredible amount of publicity that he certainly doesn't deserve, because his views are disgusting. So it's on the one hand. On the other hand, Jones is a guy who will probably be very happy with all the publicity that he's getting right now.
You spoke to the Democratic candidate in the race for the 19th district held by Republican John Faso, that seat right now, and your thoughts this morning on your conversation with Antonio Delgado.
Well, he's a very bright guy. You know, we're talking about a Rhodes Scholar. We're talking about Harvard Law School. We're talking about a guy who is truly committed to social activism, who grew up in a middle-class family. His opponents have been trying to label him as from out of the district. He lived in Schenectady. He was born and raised in Schenectady. His wife comes from Woodstock. That's going to be a hard thing to be able to put onto him. It is a purple district. There's no question about it. He knows he's in the fight of his life, and he's impressive. You know, this is a guy who has been named to the Upstate Basketball Hall of Fame, and he is a guy who loves that game of basketball. And when you get in there with all those elbows and all those people throwing everything at you that they can, you're not going to be out of it. You're going to be involved vertically from the top to the bottom, and that's what he is. He's an impressive guy. His opponents have tried to label him as a rapper and the rest of it. That's all nonsense, of course, because rap is no more than poetry, and he has shown himself to be a man who really is concerned with the plight that this country is in. I think he's going to be a very formidable candidate. We'll have to see whether he can win.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, joining us as always. Alan, great to talk to you.
And you, David.